Welcome to No Instructions. I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
This is the first time we're recording just the two of us in this room.
That just
dawned on me. Last episode, we had Anthony and Forby on, which was great.
I did note that whenever I poured out this new bag of Lego that I'm building, I was able to spread out a little bit. I'm like, wow, that's nice. It's because Anthony was sitting here.
Oh.
And we had to...
I also just realized
shimmy.
We haven't figured out how close we each are to the corner, if we're the same. We have this new table. I guess
I don't know.
Matter,
my leg is up against this bar.
Oh, I'm scooted down a little bit. I'm taking advantage of the space, man.
You can sprawl
That's
out.
That's right. Spread out here.
So much more room.
I just dumped a bag of a new set that I'm going to do. I am working on the classic Batman helmet cowl thing. What do they actually call it?
I think it's a cowl.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the old...
Not a cow.
The old Adam West one. Oh, look at that close-up video. We have all this fancy video stuff now. What are you working on?
I am going to finish the Lego bonsai tree today. That's what I was working on last time. We didn't go around the table to talk about what we're building. But this weird little...
stump.
Dangerous-looking
poop
in a vessel is the... body of a tree, and then you get to choose whether you want like the green leaves or the white and pink cherry blossom-esque leaves, which for people that are watching, I did not know this until just now, and we learned it a second ago, that all of the little cherry blossoms are just pink Lego frogs. So there's like a million little pink Lego frogs and little tiny flowers.
So did you watch Lego Masters,
the
show?
No. I watched a couple episodes.
So we watched them with the kids. It's a lot of fun because they are just blown away at what's being made. But one of the challenges late in season two was that they got like a whole bunch of a single piece like that.
Mm.
The same color, one thing, and they had to figure out how to make a big scene and use all of, you know, these pieces or whatever. And they were all some weird color. So pink frogs definitely would have been one of those things.
Yep.
One of the pairs of brothers got like a big container of red snakes, the snake pieces, and they had to figure out what to do with them. Any idea what they did with them?
Red snakes.
They had to build like a big set, so it was like a
three-dimensional.
I'll tell
fire
you.
Truck?
No, they made them into lava. So they built a like ski, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, ski resort type thing. There was like a mountain with a house on it and everything, and the mountain was a volcano. And so they used all these little twisty
things. Oh, so they were like
things.
Accent pieces. You could use other, you could supplement it with other stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't just those.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
I got you.
It was, you
I
had
was
to
thinking
use them
of,
in a scene or in a bigger model.
Oh, what's that guy's name? That makes like the squiggly glass sculptures that are in a lot of really famous buildings. It has one eye.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
My mind went to that. But then it's kind of like the, there was a game. It's like Barrel of Monkeys or like Tippet. You ever play Tippet?
Not tip it, but I know what you're talking about.
Do you just do that with all of the snakes?
Yeah, you
just
stack
don't
them
touch
all
it.
Up. Yeah.
Interweave them.
What was the name of that game? You had to pull them out. Pickup sticks? Is that pickup sticks?
Or Kerplunk?
I don't know. Maybe there's two different games.
I think we're thinking
mixing.
Of two different games.
Anyway. Well, there's one with like twisty snakes. Twisty sticks. There you go. That's the name of the game. Twisty snakes.
Twisty snakes.
Yeah. Anyway, my kids have played that. Well, what's going on? What's new with you?
Oh, man, what's new? What did we speak like? We missed last week.
Mm-hmm.
We tried real hard, people. We're sorry. My dad went home.
Oh, yeah.
So
your dad
really
was
cool.
here.
My
you
dad
didn't really
was here.
Talk a whole lot about that, I don't think, last time.
Yeah, I talked about his shoes. I kind of threw shade at my dad. I was talking about these new pair of Jordans I got because, oh, man, I don't remember if I spoke about this last episode, but I was having a weird identity crisis. I love my dad. Absolutely love my dad. But it was kind of tripping me out. Because I got these new shoes, and they're like half a size too big, so they stick out a little farther from my jeans than I'm used to kind of seeing in my peripheral, and they're a lot lighter. Normally, I wear like darker shoes, and so they're down,
I see
bigger, just light-colored shoes, and I look over my dad, and my dad has like the stereotypical white New Balance like dad shoes, and his jeans are kind of like a little baggy, like he's got a... hike his pants up every once in a while because he's walking around. And I just happened to buy a new pair of jeans online. I have a pair of pants from this one company that fit. I wanted a pair of jeans, so I got the exact same size. And they came in, and they were like three sizes too big. I'm a big dude. And they make big people feel really good about themselves with the size of their jeans. Because I was like, no, 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 this is not the size of these pants. And so I had these baggy pants that I kept having to hike up with my, like, light-colored dad shoes in my peripheral. And, like, my actual dad is walking around, like, doing the thing. And I'm just like, I feel myself mimicking my dad, like, one for one. I'm like, whoa. And it's not a bad thing. But I was like, this yeah. is weird. And so I went to the store with my dad, and I bought a new pair of jeans. And I'm like, Dad, you need to have these jeans that I'm wearing because these will fit you and you'll like them better. He's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, no, no. These are you jeans. These are not me jeans. I have to go buy some me jeans, and I'm going to bequeath these to you where they should be, the proper owner, so I can feel like me and not like my dad. But it was really cool. Like, I super love my dad, and I miss him. He's down in Florida. Which we're going down there next week.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's coming up. So he came up because we went to a live Mystery Science Theater 3000 show.
I was going to ask you about that. We have not talked about this at all.
So. We haven't.
No.
It was not great.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was okay.
Huh.
So, I mean, we both really liked the show. There's the Riff Tracks. The guys that originally did the show now have a thing called Riff Tracks. So this is a traveling extension of the Netflix show. So
it's not the original guys. Not the Riff Tracks guys.
No, no, no.
Okay.
They had a Crow robot. They had a Tom Servo robot. And they had this girl. And I forgot what her name was. And then they had this other girl who was supposed to be like a clone of like the blonde-haired bad lady who's usually running the show. But now in the Netflix, she has like brown hair, and then Patton Oswalt is there. So it's just like a collection of people who are allowed to, I mean, it's obviously Mystery Science Theater 3000 branded.
Yeah.
But none of the people that you know.
Hmm.
And they played a movie. I don't remember what the name of the movie was. Movie was stupid. And so it was on par, right?
Yeah.
But the first half, like before intermission, was like, like, it got better after the second half. They started to kind of dial it in. And I was like, okay, this is actually funny. But it was kind of hokey. And, like, you know, in Mystery Science Theater, when they go to commercial, when they come back from commercial, they'll have like weird little skits. And then they'll like, go back into the movie. They did all those in real time.
Oh.
So, like, when they're not, when you don't see the silhouettes watching the movie, they have like weird little asides where like the actors and the robots, like, play with each other, I guess, and have little weird skits. Yeah, but they did that, and it just seemed kind of weird. And she was a very good theatrical actress. And she was playing to the theater as she did, but it seemed weird and not like low-key like Jonah or the other guys that used to do it. And so it was okay. I mean, it was a cool night. My dad and I went out, and we had dinner. Then we went to the show. And so, I mean, it was funny because the theater, we sat on the floor, and I remember there was like the seat in front of me was $100-something, and the seat that I was in was like $30 or $40. And so obviously I got the cheaper one, and we went there, and it was like half full, the theater.
Oh.
Barely half full.
Wow.
And so we're like, oh, we'll just – and then you could see the buffer zone between like the cheaper seats where we were sitting and then like the seats that people paid more money up front.
Yeah.
And there were probably five rows in between us. And I'm like, oh, we'll just sit up there.
Yeah.
And we sat up there.
Nice.
Had a drink. We got to take a drink into the theater. It was at the Brown, the Brown Hotel. So they have their own theater. It's nice.
That's cool.
It was a good night. But yeah.
Hmm.
So we're going to head down to Florida next week for Thanksgiving, and I get to cook a big meal.
You looking forward to that?
Yes. Anthony and I were talking about Christmas this morning and how he already has his house all set up and how last year I tried to put up Christmas lights and it was a big flop. And I want to try to do it this year.
Hmm.
But, like, I really like Thanksgiving. I have to ramp myself up. Like, I have to prepare a meal. I've got to make a plan. Like, it's an event in itself. So to skim over that event to try to go to Christmas, like, I can't do that.
Oh, like, right.
Christmas has to wait its turn.
Hmm.
Like, I'm going to be doing the Christmas party at my house where we do the big game, the big Jeopardy, whatever style game that has evolved over the years. This will be its 10th year that we've done this game. But I'm not ready to do that yet. Like,
right.
Got Thanksgiving I have to tackle. So I'm pretty excited. I really like Thanksgiving. And not as many people are going to be at my dad's house this year. My brother and sister-in-law are going to be elsewhere. But, yeah, it'll be just nice and quiet. go down to Florida, hang out, maybe go play some goofy golf or something. I don't know.
Goofy golf.
Be a good time.
That's cool. My, for the first time since we've been here, my brother and his wife and daughter are going to, like, their son's in college now, so they're going to him, and they're going to do Thanksgiving in his apartment for him and his friends that are still there.
That's cool.
Which I thought was really cool. And then my parents are going with them. So we don't really have, like, the big family Thanksgiving thing planned like we normally would.
You guys don't come down to Florida?
Don't say that to Jenny, because she would want to. She's already talked about it.
She can't leave her raccoons.
Well, she committed to helping. She is helping with the raccoons and all the different animals that she's helping with. But also, she's taking care of my brother's cats while they're gone. So we have commitment, and we can't leave. But it's going to be kind of weird, just because not all of our family is gone. My sister's still here. But I don't know. It's just kind of strange, because our plan, our typical, you know, Thanksgiving plan is just not going to be there. Not a bad thing. But I was also kind of thinking, like, well, this, since it's going to be kind of a weird year, Thanksgiving, just different, you know, like, what can we do? Maybe instead of turkey and stuff, we just make something totally, totally different. You know, it's
have fireworks.
There you go. Like, make some ice cream for Thanksgiving. I don't know what we could do differently, but, you know, I thought maybe we just come up with a way to make it unique or something, and kind of take advantage of it. You know, I don't know what that is, but I'm honestly ready for Christmas time. I'm one that, like, Thanksgiving's fine, man. I don't dislike it or necessarily want to skip past it or anything, but I do really like the Friday after Thanksgiving is, in my mind, that's Christmas, and then I start, you know, going down that. We were already listening to music. Kids are already listening to Christmas music. And so I'm trying to figure out how to decorate this year. I was thinking about the office. Like, we briefly talked about it the other day. Like, do we decorate the office for Christmas?
Yeah, this is a weird thing.
I mean, we can.
Because my wife and I talked about the Christmas party and whether we're going to have it. Because last year with COVID, we didn't have it. We were super bummed. And we're like, no way. This year, like, everybody we know is either vaccinated or, you know, has had it or dying slowly. I don't care. And I want them to come to my house and have our Christmas party. But then every year we have it, more people come, and my house doesn't grow.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, we talked about, like, jokingly, we need to rent out, like, an event space to have our Christmas party. I'm like, oh, why don't we just have it at the office, and we can have, like, a I like to make stuff Christmas party, but it'll be, like, a bunch of disparate people that we would all know separately. So it really wouldn't be a Christmas party. It would just be a weird, like, there's a bunch of space. Let's just go over there and don't touch anything. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have it at our house, because that's what Mama wants. And what Mama wants, Mama gets.
Well, I mean, it's definitely more of a homey feel. You know, I mean, to have a thing at your own house is pretty different than, like, that'd be like renting out a place. So my mom's family is from about 30 minutes from here. And most of them in that family live, and that side of the family live in that area. So they're pretty close to each other. We used to always get together for Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that at my grandmother's house. And then when my grandparents passed, my aunt bought that house. And so she and her husband have lived in that house for, I don't know, 15 years now or 10 years or something like that. It's been a long time. And so we've gone there, you know, for events, and we just keep going to the same house. But the family's bigger. There's like another generation of people now that shows up. And so a couple of years ago, they didn't do it last year, I don't think, but a couple of years ago, they rented like a room at this event space kind of thing to have the Christmas get together, not at somebody's house, because there's so many people. It was like, there was still room at their house, but it was, you know, somebody has to clean up. Yeah. Somebody has to prepare food. And that gets harder and harder the more kids there are, the more people overall. And so they rented this, I don't know, just kind of like an event space room, a bunch of tables. And it was fine. It was still great to see everybody, but it was definitely a different thing. It did not have the family get together in somebody's home.
Yeah.
Comfort, known stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It was not the same.
That's interesting to mention that.
Yeah. So I would prefer to, as our family gets bigger, to pare down the number of people, but keep it close and keep it, you know, not just try to include everybody that we've ever been, you know, all the time. Whereas Jenny's tendency is like, hey, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody? Bring them on over. Let's have the biggest party ever and just have – not that I don't want to do that. I don't want to include people. But I think I can see how as the family would continue to grow, like you almost have to compartmentalize a little bit and like enjoy this thing and then go over there and enjoy this other thing with different parts of the family. So
yeah, I think with us, because our family is not up here, like it's – the community is our family.
Right.
And so every year we meet new people. And we just had dinner the other night with some people that – we recently met, and it was cool. I was like, oh, great. We have new people now in the bubble. And I had mentioned the Christmas thing, and they're a military family, so they are farther away from their family. I'm like, come on over. Let's do the thing. And so now it's growing again, and I have to be cognizant. I'm like, okay, I don't want to cap it, but I also only have so many seats. Like, I don't want to buy another couch or knock down a wall.
Right.
But – whatever. Like, if I have to feed 30 people, like, that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. If I can make that really fun, exciting Christmas kind of thing for 30 or 50 people, then great. Like, my goal would be to rent out the theater and, like, pack it full of people. Like, there's a show in town that some local guys are putting on. And, like, I'm super jealous that they're doing that. It's super cool. And that's just something they want to do for the community. And I think it's really fun. And that's kind of what the Christmas game is, just my way of doing that for all the people that we know. That is kind of atypical. Like you talked about having an atypical kind of Thanksgiving. And like it started at Thanksgiving, actually, when we were in Belgium.
Hmm.
We invited a whole bunch of the people that we knew that were obviously not going to fly home for Thanksgiving. And so we had a bunch of people. I'm like, well, I have to figure out something to do for these people. I don't want to sit around and small talk. And being an avid lover of Jeopardy and games, I'm like, oh, well, let's just do that. Like a little bit of friendly competition won't hurt anybody. And I can make everybody do silly things. Because if I'm the puppet master, like you click on a category, you kind of have to do that thing. And so each year I can like push the boundaries of making people look ridiculous. Like I got you to sing one time and that was fun.
You did?
A little bit.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I did. And so I don't know. I super love to do it. But I also just... it's not time yet, and I have to plan for that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited, too. Now, I'm less excited to kind of decorate for the house. Maybe I can get Anthony to come over and help me decorate. He can show me some pointers. But, like, I have to go get light bulbs, and I got the wrong kind of light bulbs last year.
Do you think that might be easier once you get through, like, once you've given Thanksgiving its due and it's your attention and, you know, and, like, it's done? Do you think maybe you then have a little more motivation or focus on Christmas?
Because Tiff wants to decorate the house, and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Like, but we're like, well, do we decorate it before? Do we decorate when we get back?
Yeah.
Because we'll get back, what, next weekend? I'm like, that's plenty of time. We just decorate when we get back.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the inside. I'm not considering the outside. And I haven't really thought that far.
Well,
so I say decorate for Christmas, that means
the inside
of the house.
But I mean, you know, not everybody's going to like decorate all the different parts. And it kind of depends on, like, I don't know. Like, if a family spends time, this sounds bad, and I don't mean it that way, but if a family faces inward more than it faces outward, spends more time in the home, then, you know, decorating the inside should be the focus. I mean, like, you're doing
that's what's going to bring you joy.
Right, yeah. Right. So, like, if that's, even if that's the first priority, maybe not the only, but do that. See if that's enough, because that might be enough, you know, that... Maybe, like we've talked about in the past, about decorating for the other people in your neighborhood and stuff, but you don't have to do that, you know? Definitely your kids and your own family's enjoyment of a time of year, first priority, for sure. I know my kids love to see stuff in the front yard. They love the inside decorations, too. And, like, when we decorate for Christmas, we get everything out on like Thursday a Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving, we get everything out and then everybody helps. And then the outside stuff is all me because it's like, you know, climbing on the roof and like trying to figure out how to untangle the big thing you throw over a bush and all that stuff. But if I put that off, if I put off the lights on the outside, they're always just like, so when are you gonna do the outside stuff? Because they like coming home at night, seeing the outside, the front yard all lit up and everything. And I do too. But I can't get away with not doing that at this point because they really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, my kids are trying to get me to get to that point. They ask me about it, and I'm like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And then I did it and it didn't work. And I'm like, this looks like garbage. And they're like, Dad, it doesn't look good. I'm like, I know it doesn't look good. Maybe one year I'll live up to their expectations.
Nope.
Of me
you
at
will
Christmas.
Not.
I know.
You will not, because that's just what we do. We try, but, like, but we don't.
Yeah. And you talk about the for the neighbors. I don't think decorating the outside of the house is necessarily for my neighbors. It's for my family and for my kids. But
yeah, well, that wasn't towards you, but I think that is a that can be a thing where, you know, you want you want to add something to the neighborhood or whatever. And I was just saying that you don't necessarily have to, even though that can be a tendency.
Yeah, but I want to not be a humbug. I want to be able to do it. I want the house to look nice because I like it when our house looks nice. I like it when our house is decorated for Christmas.
Yeah. Like, it's just the work of getting it to that point.
Yeah, it's just it's not figured out. Like, you put up a Christmas tree, you put the decorations on the Christmas tree is over there. Like, it's pretty straightforward. And then it makes you feel a thing. Like, with the Christmas lights, I haven't ever done it, so I have to figure it out. So then it becomes not just the act of putting it up, but the act of designing and then buying the right things and then where to keep it and how to get on the roof, because I haven't figured that out. So, like, it's a project that has a lot of unknowns, so I'm not as motivated to get to it because I haven't figured out the actual execution portion of it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'll probably do it, and I might fall off the roof.
Ah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Okay, so speaking of weird Christmas stuff, yesterday, Jenny was at the gym, and she was telling her trainer guy that she's been working with about Shang-Chi. And this guy does martial arts and stuff. And so she was like asking him if he had seen it. And he said no. So she challenged him to watch. She was like, you should watch this. It's a great movie. Like, you'll love the martial arts. It's all this stuff. And so he was like, well, I'll watch that if you watch this rom-com movie on Netflix. So she comes home and she's like, we've been challenged by this guy that I've never met. I've paid a lot of money to train my wife and the gym to watch some rom-com movie. And so I had to spend my night last night watching a Christmas rom-com, which apparently is number two on Netflix right now.
What was it?
It's called Love Hard.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Phrasing, people.
Yep.
How did that make it through?
Well, it actually makes sense with the movie when you... I can spoil if anybody wants. But it was... the thing that was weird about the night was that Jenny and I sat down and watched TV. We watch shows. That's like one of the ways that we just kind of get to hang out together. We sit down, kids go to bed. We watch a couple of shows. She falls asleep on the couch. I wake her up, get her in bed. That's it. That's our night. And, you know, we watch things that we both enjoy. We've tried to watch Game of Thrones. We've watched part of it. And then it's just like, ugh, I feel grody. And like everything's mad and angry and dead.
Yeah, I feel like you should turn it off real quick and your mom walks in.
Well, it's not even that stuff. It's just so heavy. Like, we've tried to watch shows that are so heavy and we just can't really get it. So we always fall back to, you know, comedies, movies that we've seen that we really like. And it's always very light. And so, like, we just finished Modern Family a couple nights ago. So I enjoyed that time with her, sitting down to watch something that we both are looking forward to and we enjoy. Like, we just started rewatching first season of Ted Lasso so that we can watch the second season finally. Love that show. So good.
It's a good show.
Anyway, so we sat down last night and she's like, we have to watch this rom-com. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I don't know anything about it. Sure, they're not all bad. Could be fine. Let me give you my summary. Okay. Now, for the people watching video, you can see that I have a thumbs down. That goes with the fart sound that I just made about the movie Love Hard on Netflix.
So I'm taking by your reaction that you did not enjoy this movie.
I did not thoroughly enjoy it. Okay. No, I did laugh out loud one time.
You lolled?
And she when it was over, I like clicked it off and she goes, well, and I was like, yep. She goes, you did laugh out loud that one time. I'm like, yeah, what was that? I don't know. I don't remember.
Neither I regret one of us my actions.
But it was like, just for a moment, there was like a little chuckle. It was not terrible, but like of that time that's kind of precious to us that we have together, I felt very cheated that I was having to watch that and her coach is watching Shang-Chi.
Yeah, he definitely got the better end of that.
Like, man, well, you should have just put that one on instead. It was like definitely a, you know, a Christmas Hallmark style.
Did the girl or the guy return to their hometown after being very successful and then they reunited with the hometown person that made him feel nostalgic.
If you changed out all of the, if you generalized that statement, mm-hmm. yes. It was the same tropes and all the same
blonde,
stuff.
Blonde, cute girl, nope. rugged, brown-haired guy nope. with a beard?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
This one was about, the guy was Asian, and so I think that was the thing that made it stand out as a different, you know, like a different take on it. It wasn't terrible, but it was so predictable. It was one of those things that, like, now a few years ago, before we moved here, we came here for Christmas one time, and I remember, for some reason, my mom had the Hallmark channel or whatever it was on, and they were these Hallmark movies on. And so we ended up kind of passively watching a couple of these goofy Christmas movies. And in that setting, they're like so, I don't know, it's expected. You know what it, you know where it's showing. You know
you
what
don't
it's
going to
be.
Do a lot of work to watch
And it's just like, you know how it's going to turn out. Yeah. And they're fine. I mean, I wouldn't like actively go watch them, but they're fine. This one's like number two on Netflix. I'd expected more. And I don't want to like spoil it in case somebody likes those and you want to watch it. It's not a terrible movie, but it just...
You like movies that make people make aggressive fart sounds with their mouth. And this the movie for you.
So the love hard thing, it
that's
the,
a terrible
name. Well, the title comes from... the leading girl talks about Die Hard a bunch, and it's a love story, and it just... You know, Die Hard's the best Christmas movie ever.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is. I'm just saying, this is the argument that was going on in the show. And
you should
like,
have
oh,
left that man
on.
The moment that he did that.
Well, that's part of the story.
Aww.
Anyway. Aww. So my point is, I did not get to watch Shang-Chi. That's a long way to say I have to watch it another night. I've seen it. It's good. But
speaking of other movies that we have watched recently.
Oh, no.
I don't even think it's worth a spoiler cast. But I think you might need to get your fart sound ready.
Yeah.
Because I know your take on it, and I know Matt Whitman's take on Eternals, the newest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I went and watched it after I got both of your takes on it.
So my review on our Slack channel was Eternals equal poop emoji.
Yeah.
So you knew how I felt about it.
I did. And then I heard Matt. Matt had like a single sentence and just said it was terrible or something to that effect.
Yeah, something.
He made a very bold stance to the negative.
What was funny about that is he and I were on the phone and we were talking about other stuff, life stuff. And he was out. He's like, yeah, I'm out here walking through the woods. You know, he's talking. I can hear stuff crunching. And as he's walking through the woods and we have this long conversation and then he gets in his car and I had to go. And so we hung up and... Like 2 hours and 5 minutes later, or whatever, I don't know how long the movie is, but like right after that, he tweets that he hated this movie after we had talked about him not having seen it on the phone.
You
I'm
inspired
like,
him.
I'm like,
to watch
there's
a terrible
no way.
Movie, apparently.
There's no way you saw that movie after we hung up. And he was like, yep, when I hung up with you, I walked into the theater. Hmm. Apparently, he was on his way. Anyway, what did you think about it?
I didn't think it was as bad as your very short synopsis made it sound like.
Good.
I thought it was bad, but I thought it was bad for the MCU.
Yeah.
As a standalone, completely ridiculous movie all by itself, like, sure, there were inconsistencies, which I didn't like the most, is that you set up a world, and then you start manipulating and, like, not obeying the rules of the world.
Like what?
Okay, this is a little bit of a spoiler, and if you have kids, earmuffs a little bit. You got these people... that are these beings created by a celestial thing. They're just robots.
Mm-hmm.
You get sent to Earth, and then they have sex on the rocks, in the hot rocks in Iraq. I tell you that. Don't do that. That's not a good thing. But I'm like, why?
Well, but they didn't know they were robots, right?
Okay. No. My question, though.
By the way, I'm not defending this movie.
Why do they
whatsoever.
Have genitalia? There's no reason for those characters to have genitalia. Whatsoever.
Hmm.
None. And then Icarus, the Superman analog.
Oh no!
Who, like, the little kid laughs at him and said he was Superman.
Yeah.
Flies around and shoots the lasers from his eyes. And for, like, the first fight scene thing, it doesn't really hurt these monsters that they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, ooh. And then he like looks at their spaceship and cuts their spaceship in half. And so it seems like if you could dial it up, like, why don't you just like bing, laser the thing and just be done? Yeah.
Start at level 10.
There's like little stuff like that all throughout the movie. That I was like, it didn't follow its own rules.
Hmm.
And I kind of liked it, like, ooh, Angelina Jolie is Athena, and, like, they've been around forever because they're eternal. That some myth and lore the humans have created about them. Like, I kind of...
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat.
That was kind of cool.
So I'm like, you've got the goddess of war, and she just, like, her memory is full, and that's why she's sad. That's sort of like, yeah, like her disc is full and she just can't. And then she gets glaucoma and just gets mad and starts trying to beat everybody. And I'm like, this is not a proper use of this character. And like, I could kind of see, I'm like, okay, maybe it's like, ooh, she's a wounded warrior and she still has value because I'm like, but how did she get wounded? She didn't get wounded. She just reached capacity.
Yeah.
Made up capacity.
Yeah.
And then she's sad. And then she fights Gilgamesh, who I thought was a cool character. Yeah, but there were so many weird little inconsistencies, like I said, in the way that they set up the world and how they interacted with the world that made the fights and the struggles and the real, like, drama between everybody made it really unbelievable. And then, like, the bad guys, there's, like, the deviant monster things. But they can evolve, and then one of them, like, gets a bunch of eyeballs and starts talking. And it was so muddled. And then I'm like, how is this an MCU movie? Because you said Iron Man one time? And even then they talked about Batman and Superman. I'm like, you don't acknowledge DC movies in this. Don't bring that into the world. But then it made me really upset for where it's going to go in the future. Because Shang-Chi kind of set up a little bit of Eternals. I think they're putting a lot of stake in this movie. Harry Styles shows up at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's going, but I really hope the MCU is not going there, and I really hope that this is not the needle approaching the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing I liked about Shang-Chi was that it was like, hey, look, regular dude finds mystical thing, becomes... more than regular dude, but still kind of a regular dude.
I think that's most of the MCU is built on that.
Exactly,
thing.
Right.
We can all be super because we're all just regular people, and in circumstances,
right,
we can overcome those circumstances and become mighty.
So this one felt to me like we need to figure out, I know it's based off comics, I know, don't yell at me, but I feel like they were like, we need to zoom out and create a bigger story that's been around longer and broader than what we have so far. But that doesn't make it a good story. That's the Star Wars problem. The Star Wars problem is, oh, well, we need to come up with something that surrounds these multiple era that we already have and figure out how to tell a thing that, like, spans from the prequels to the sequel trilogy. Like, you don't have to connect everything.
Yeah.
Like, I love connection stuff. I love enriching story and making things kind of like, oh, look at that. There's a thing that I don't know about.
I remember that's
like,
that from the other thing.
Yeah, but like everything, I don't know. This one felt too far.
And the fact
and it would have been 45 minutes shorter if they had cut down all of the staring scenes. So many people staring off. Look at this. Wow. Look at that. Wow. Oh, it just like went on forever.
They had the MCU's first gay kiss in it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's
Paperboy is eternal now and has a husband. I don't care. But, oh, and the thing, like, the, man, we're spoiling this movie, but it's not great.
Yeah,
so
you're not missing anything. Blah, blah, blah.
So apparently there's like a celestial, these massive universe building creatures. There's a bunch of them, but there's one living, hibernating, feeding off of the energy of humans inside the core of the Earth, which I don't know how affected the core of the Earth would be if humans were not here.
Yeah.
I don't think we radiate that heat downward.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's not how that works.
That's a good point.
But when it reaches critical human mass, it will break through the Earth. And it's their job to stop it. They're like, no, we can't because we love the humans. When that thing starts breaking through the core of the Earth into the ocean, we're all dead.
Oh, yeah. By the time it got up to the surface.
Your mission is futile.
Game over. Yeah.
Yep. And they're like, we saved them. No, you didn't. You absolutely did not. You raised the temperature of the ocean and you killed off all of the algae and bacteriophages. You have disrupted the seismic activity. There is now a crack going from the center of the earth up through the, I don't want to say the dermis, the earth, the crust. The dermis. Like, you are too late. Space monster robot people.
Yeah.
Your efforts are in vain and we are all dead. Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. Like, please just get it over with, because now we have to live with the pending doom that their half actions have created.
It just, and so, like, what, is that thing going to be in a tourist attraction now?
Right. Is someone going to lay claim to it? It's going to cause a war. It's in the middle of the Indian
That's
Ocean.
That's true.
There are so many nations around that area that have nuclear weapons. They're either going to shoot nuclear weapons at it, or they're going to fight each other for it. They're going to try to get resources off of it, which is going to create a black market war. They did more harm than just letting it be. And then, we just would have exploded.
And then they all left.
Yeah. Or they got captured by the Celestial, and now they're in space in their, like, hipster clothes. So apparently they don't need oxygen, and they can't die. They can, but they have genitalia. I don't know why that was such a sticking point for me, but it was awkward.
Well, I mean, I think, like, they shouldn't have known that they were robots because they get reset. So the whole idea is, I think they, whoever, I don't, Mr. Father Time, I don't know what his name was because I lost interest in it.
Amish?
Old Eight Eye guy. Yeah. Like, made them so that they would be invested in a place and think that they were there to, like, really do good. And I guess part of that is feeling that there were some stakes, you know, that they were, I don't know.
Understand that, but they
didn't know they were robots.
So. Fact. They may not have known that they were disposable entities, but they knew that they were not human. And they knew that they were this outer, like, protector of the thing. They had a mission, which became a really strong plot point. Maybe I'm stuck on dogma rules where God banished these angels out of heaven and they're angels and they're not men or women, so they don't have genitalia, which was a plot point in the movie. And then I just had that in my head.
Yeah.
Like, you should not be having sex, especially on the rock in Iraq in the middle of the day. That's not a good time. So I wanted to like the concept of the movie. It was just way too much going on. And now it's MCU canon. That, like, adding Guardians to the MCU stretched, and Thor as well, like, stretched that, like, normal people can overcome things and do extraordinary things.
Right.
Now there's aliens. And even though those aliens are probably some, you know, fragile disposable creatures on their planet, just like humans are on ours. Everybody has some type of frailty. And then they're like, oh, there's gods. And even those gods have faults and frailty. And now there's just these gigantic, like, universe-building things that are just operating. And then they have an army of these robot things that just go out everywhere else. And one of them was in one direction, apparently. It just seems so disjoined.
I was confused about this. So wasn't Ego?
Ego was a Celestial.
Yeah. But he wasn't the giant monster with eight eyes and like a
Right. He was a living planet. Sure. Okay. Again, it's the thing. It's the Star Wars thing. It set up a world, create some laws. I don't say laws, but like create some reality in this world.
Right.
As far-fetched as it may be. But then operate within that reality. Because if you don't take your own rules and your own plot and your own character development and all that stuff seriously, like, how do you expect me to do it?
Well, okay, so I will say that the multiverse thing that they're obviously leaning into really hard very soon, I think is a good way around that. It's a way to break your own rules.
Sure.
And they're going to be doing that. This was not set up to be that.
No.
This was set up in
fairy tale in some other universe.
So, in my mind, Eternals felt like a DC movie.
This felt like He-Man. Like the Masters of the Universe movie with Courtney Cox in it. There's these mythical beings that exist somewhere. They have to come to Earth. Some people want to do bad to Earth. These guys want to save the Earth. It doesn't seem like an MCU. Like, it doesn't need it. And every time they talked about Iron Man, I'm like, that seems so far away from what I'm watching. Like, it doesn't compute that they're superheroes or have, and they kept talking about their superpowers. I'm like, what do you have a superpower? Like, you were built from the ground up to do a thing. That's not a superpower. That's your basic operating system.
Was that before they realized that they were made? I mean, because they all thought that they were, they came from,
they just like
place.
Woke up on a spaceship and like introduced each other.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the atmosphere, which again, I'm like, if you're in the atmosphere, where is Sword? Sword is supposed to be up in the atmosphere monitoring that. Maybe. Mm. Oh, well, no, because it was like a bajillion years ago or whatever. So, okay, that makes some sense. Does Doctor Strange not know that there are like alien gods?
I wondered about that too.
I don't know. Yeah. And that's where it kept like pulling me out of the movie because it was trying to shoehorn itself into a universe that I've already kind of bought into.
I think that's a good way
to put
it.
And I've been stretched my believability, my acceptance for what they are claiming is reality has been stretched.
Right.
And then they're trying to like burst through that stretched membrane and I wouldn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, not every MCU movie is great, you know.
Fact.
And I will say that I probably am more of a cheerleader for most of it than a lot of other people are. Like, I'm willing to say it's not great, but I still like it. Falcon and Winter Soldier was not great, but I still liked it because it was connected to other stuff that I like, and it was like an extension, a little bit more, you know. This one was a turd. This one just shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have. And, you know, I mean, whatever. They made a movie, and that's great. And I'm sure people love it. I saw today a guy I know on Twitter said he really enjoyed it. Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm glad.
How did you enjoy it? Because I want to see someone influence my perception of this movie. And I thought that Matt would be that person. Because I thought that maybe the mysticism or the link to history or the influence in, like, culture or lore, I thought would be really interesting to him, which I think on some level, like it was with me, maybe, but then the rest of it just overshadowed. Like at the end credits where they had little like pieces of runes and culture and tablets and like tapestries and things from all over the world and the history of the world. They were like trying to show how all the Eternals influenced all those little things.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of neat. But, like, you didn't lean on any of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the bigger problems that I had with the whole thing, and I didn't realize this until I saw somebody else mention this. You can have a good movie without always raising the stakes, the world stakes. Like, you know, the Avengers. Okay, so you start out with Tony Stark. He's fighting some bad guys. Terrorists.
Defense contractor. Makes a machine to fight bad guys.
It's this Done. Big, right? Yep. And he ends up fighting one other guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie. And then you have other movies that are also fighting one guy in a suit, or maybe like a team of guys in suits, or maybe an army of Nazis, or, you know, there's these little things. And then you have the Avengers thing, and that's big because they're fighting an entire alien race from another dimension that comes in. That's big. Those are big stakes. Now we have to fight something even bigger and even bigger. But then Ant-Man comes along. And you have another movie out of the order of the growth of this scale of badness. You get like Ant-Man, and you get this little movie over here, and you get this little thing, and they have personal stakes again. Ant-Man was great because the stakes were about him and his daughter. Hmm. There was other stuff going on, but that's what that movie was about. And I love that. And then this one, it's like I don't care about any of these characters because they're not – there's one love story going on. That's not really that interesting. But like, there's no other personal stakes at all. And it was so big and so time-reaching that I didn't care about the world stakes.
Maybe
like,
that's...
they got to stop trying to always go bigger and there's got to be a bigger villain. Like, people are like, oh, Galactus is coming. Yeah. Big freaking deal. It's another giant in the sky. That doesn't matter. Like, let's rein it back in, you know? Have some personal stuff. Maybe Spider-Man will be that. I don't know.
Ooh, Spider-Man. Okay.
Trailers today.
They're making a big deal about a trailer release.
It's
tonight at like 8:30 p.m.
I mean, that's a pretty good indication.
They're doing a really good job, and I hope it doesn't suck too.
I don't think it will. I'm pretty excited about that.
Back to your point about the bigger stakes, the bigger bad, the bigger whatever, and having like a personal story. I think that they're on this trajectory of increasing the stakes, increasing the stuff that when a movie like Black Widow comes out that is very personal, it doesn't seem as grand and it seems like a lesser movie.
Hmm.
And that's not fair.
Right.
Because it was a very personal story with people fighting people because of people problems, not like bigger, huger, mythical, scary thing that doesn't care about the humans. It's not about saving the humans. It's about saving your friends. And so I don't know. Maybe they can just kind of pump the brakes on that. But I seriously doubt any of that is happening. Disney Plus Day came out and announced all of the TV shows and everything that are coming out.
So, I mean, did you notice, so there's a Star Wars Twitter, there's a Marvel Twitter, there's a everything Twitter, like there's these little subgroups of mm-hmm. everything. Star Wars Twitter was very, very, very upset that nothing was really shown or announced on Disney Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they apparently claimed ahead of time that there was going to be a trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi, possibly for some other stuff. But that was the big one, because that's like the most immediate thing that we haven't seen anything about. And there was nothing shown other than a couple of logos on a screen flashing by of new Star Wars stuff. And people were pretty upset about that. I'm not sure why.
But She-Hulk.
The entitlement goes deep when it comes to fans of Star Wars and other things. But yeah, they don't owe us a trailer, everybody. It would have been nice to see, and I'm sure we'll get it one of these days, but... and all the different things, the Marvel things they showed off were like, they're like teaser trailer and it's 12 seconds of like somebody turning around. I'm like, that's not a teaser. Yep. Come on.
I saw She-Hulk's arm. I saw her arm.
She's green.
Oh,
who would have thought? Yeah. So anyway, as far as Star Wars though, I'm beginning to get a little bit worried about Star Wars.
That the bubble's popping?
I think the bubble popped a long time ago, but yep. I'm worried about.
I thought that too until The Mandalorian came out, and I went, "There's hope yet."
Well, yes. I mean, I love The Mandalorian. I'm excited about Boba Fett. I'm excited about Ahsoka. But apparently, the movies that have been planned, everything just got pushed, and possibly canceled. Not everything. The Rogue Squadron movie.
That got canceled, didn't it?
It's not canceled, but it's like indefinitely. I think it got pushed out a year, and then apparently now it might be in limbo.
Well, the director made Wonder Woman 1984. If I owned anything relating to Disney or Star Wars and I saw her make that movie,
it would lose
all credibility in my book.
But she's making Wonder Woman 3, and that's going to go in front of her Star Wars movie. And Rian Johnson was supposed to be doing a trilogy that nobody's heard anything about for a long time, and apparently that's getting canned. I mean, who knows? None of this stuff's official. But the thing that I'm more worried about is that I think Star Wars has... Okay, Star Wars has always had a problem of, ever since the prequels came out, hey, we should go back and tell the fill-in story from this, like... There was a one line back in this one movie that mentioned the Clone Wars. And that was it.
A movie all about Han Solo and his dice.
Yeah, it's like...
Brilliant.
But there's like these little throwaway lines that are supposed to just kind of give you a glimpse into the world is bigger, the universe has history, and you don't have to know it all, whatever. But then they went back and made the prequels to kind of fill in some of the gaps. Okay, fair enough. And then they jumped ahead in time. That's awesome. And then they went back and did the Mandalorian stuff, which in time is frustrating to me. I love the show.
Yeah.
But as far as like, let's just go back and fill in some stuff that we know has to stop at this point. So all these people that you're falling in love with and these cool characters and these cool scenarios and this potential, you know everybody's going to be dead by this date. Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's going to end. Like, let's move forward. Let's stop with the fill in and the thing. And so they did the Clone Wars cartoon. Now they're doing Bad Batch, which is just more of that.
I didn't watch it.
Still fits into this little gap of time. You never see these characters in the future. So, you know, I think they're
I did not care about Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care about the Clone Troopers. And when Rex came back during Rebels, it was kind of neat. But there was one of them. and he had a little bit of personality. I just really don't care about stormtroopers.
Yeah. Well, and even Rebels was that. Rebels was great. I really enjoyed it. But it still had to fit in between two bookends, and it had to all – I mean, not all stop. You know, not everybody died, but the connectivity was pretty mild there. And I think as long as they just keep trying to, like, find a page in the book and stick in a new story in that page, it's still in between the covers of the book.
Right.
They need to move on to the next book. They need to stop canceling these future movies that are set in the future – and like another trilogy that's set in the future, they need to stop doing the like, hey, let's go back to the old Republic or the old Republic or the high old Republic or the old high Republic. It's like, go to the future.
Don't you want
to
know what happened in between this one movie?
I think you do. I was listening to another podcast the other day when they were talking about going back to see, I think it was like Yoda in middle school or something like that. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, no, let's move ahead. But anyway.
It'd be cool if we brought Mace Windu back. I'm like, what happened to him when he fell out that window? You don't know that he died.
Oh, people are legit.
Yeah, I know.
Sure that he's going to be back in some one of these shows just to prove that he had a parachute on under his tunic or something when he fell out the window. I don't know.
See, but even then, those are the rules of Star Wars, just like I'm talking about with other things that annoy me too.
Yeah.
About how someone can die.
Yeah. Sorry, I just threw a Lego at myself. All right, we've been complaining about other stuff for a long time. What else is going on? What else is new?
What's happening?
Interesting.
I messed up some parts here.
Uh-oh.
Maybe, okay. You had something you wanted to – man, we're almost an hour in. Maybe we should save that. You wanted to talk about dad stuff and teenage kids.
Yeah. I don't know how much there is. But so my oldest is 14. That's so crazy to say out loud. But – having my daughter's 12. So having multiple kids within middle school and seeing them relate to their friends who are at, you know, like some are a little bit older than each one, some are a little bit younger than each one. So looking through the lens of two of my kids and seeing their relationships in both directions. And then maybe another level, you know, at school and at church, they have, and at soccer, they have different groups of kids who are some older, some younger, some whatever, whatever. And every kid that's in middle school or late elementary or early high school has a different, they have an age, they have a maturity level, and those two things do this all the time. Right? The age goes up, but the maturity level bounces ahead and then it falls back and then it bounces ahead. And so they're never really like moving at the same pace. And then you put two kids together who are the same age and they have different maturity levels and they have different interests and they have different ways to deal with how they're feeling or how they relate to other people. And so like seeing a couple of kids and all those expanded groups of kids, it's just kind of wild to watch how differently any two kids can deal with the same situation. And how they're all trying to figure out how to relate to each other. So I don't really know that there's a conversation in this, except that I'm...
Whoa, sorry. Everything is breaking.
I don't know that there's a conversation here, except that I'm trying to figure out how to help my kids figure out how to relate well to other kids their age who are into different things. And, like, I don't even know how to say it. They're kind of outrunning each other in maturity.
Hmm.
Like somebody's like, oh, I'm totally done with Minecraft, man. Like I'm like cooler. I'm way onto this thing. And then that same kid, the next minute, is doing something completely ridiculous. You know, that's multiple years earlier. They're just all over the place.
Yep.
And I've seen them kind of like push forward and try to be really assertive and like, this is a thing I like, and it's okay if other kids my age don't really like this thing. And then I've also seen them be really timid about, oh, I don't know that I should tell anybody that I'm into this because I'm probably too old for it now. And my friends aren't into it, even though they're maybe a little younger than me. Or, and I'm trying to be really vague because I don't want my kids to hear this and think I'm like calling them out or anything. Right. But I don't know. I don't really know how to, I'm just encouraging my kids to be themselves, whether anybody else is into the same stuff that they are or not. Whether that puts them ahead or behind in maturity, like, that's not important. I'm trying to let them know that it's going to fluctuate. you're not necessarily going to be in line with everybody else your age as far as interests and how you spend your time. And so I'm just trying to encourage them to do the things that interest them now, because those things are not going to interest them in a year from now necessarily, you know. That make any sense?
Yeah. And I think if you can figure out how to convince young teenagers to go against the flow and do a thing that they want to do, like, that's the rub. Like, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Like, how to be an individual up against a group of people that want you to conform so bad to the point where you get bullied or picked on or whatever, just to wait 10 years, if that, to figure out that all the people that were conforming in the big group now want to be the most unique, individualized person.
Yeah.
Like, to convey that information to a teenager, like, no, no, no. Like, you being a little weird and being a little off and having a thing that no one else knows about or does or can't relate to, like, it's going to flip. Yeah. This will mirror.
Right.
You got to hold off. And, like, my son got picked on the other day at church. And it upset me. But, like, being a homeschool kid, he's not around, like, a huge peer group, like, middle school kids normally are, that would face the wrath of the crazy middle school kids because he doesn't conform one way or the other. But, like, he got picked on for not having a phone by a group of, you know, preteen, whatever, middle school boys. And he was upset about it. And I completely, you know, sympathize with him. Like, it sucks to be called out and to be chastised for something that you have no control over.
Yeah.
Whether it's, like, your clothes or some type of, like, abnormality that you happen to have personally. Like, getting picked on is terrible. And he tried to come to me and he was like, I need a phone because I'm getting picked on. And I'm like, no, 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 you don't. Like, first, I'm sorry and I absolutely love you. Like, but that's not the answer. Like, conforming to someone just because they say you have to have the thing. Like, you're bending to the will of some random people that you really don't care that much about. I was like, so that's never the answer, to go chase the crowd just because the crowd is loud. And I mean, whether that actually worked or I just distracted him or he went home and, you know, didn't care. But yeah, trying to convince a teenager. I mean, I'm trying to think of how I would communicate that to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to tell me, like, oh, the shoes that you're wearing or whatever, the clothes that you're wearing in middle school, they don't really matter, hon. It's what's on the inside that counts. Like, I would laugh and I'd walk off and, like, my parents are complete idiots who know nothing about the world and I'm never going to go to them again because they're just out of touch and dumb. But that's the truth. Like, that's the real answer, is to, like, no, just chill, because they're all going to be insurance salesmen and multi-level marketing, like, pitchers on whatever the future's version of Facebook is, while you get to hang out with cool people that do cool things that they're jealous of. So you just gotta chill for a little while, and it'll all work itself out.
Yeah, I've tried to encourage both of my kids to not avoid the things that are interesting to them, but realize, and they both do, realize that not everybody's going to be into those things, and they don't necessarily try to, like, that they don't necessarily need to try to prove themselves, but also not back away. And part of that is, well, you know, it's okay for you to have stuff in common, one thing in common with these people and a different thing in common with these people. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have video game X or whatever in common with your school friends, find something else with them. Let that be the thing that you do with so-and-so. Let that be the thing that you play with your little brothers or whatever, you know. So I'm trying to let them know that it's like, you don't have to be all things to all people. I don't mean that, but I mean, find a point that you can genuinely connect and have something in common with different groups of people. You don't have to do all the stuff all the time. And like, my daughter has figured that out pretty well. She,
then you seem fake.
Yeah.
Or you're not, you spread yourself so thin that you're not good at any one thing.
Well, and like, as an adult, I can say that I, and maybe this is me being immature, I recognize that, I don't typically put myself in situations where I don't, like, where I don't have stuff in common with people that I want to have in common with them. I don't go to the bowling alley and be like, hey, let's figure out how to have bowling in common. It's not a thing I do.
Yeah.
Not that I'm against it, but like, I don't go there looking for how to connect with people. I connect with people that I have things in common with. But I'm an adult, and I can figure that out.
You can choose the group you want to be around.
Exactly. Yeah. They're at a point where they're trying to figure out, like, I don't even know where I fit. I don't know if it's okay that I am into the things I'm into. I don't know if it's okay that I still like to play with these toys, or I like this kind of show, or I've never played this game, or I don't have a phone. I don't know if any of that stuff's okay. So they're, like, feeling all these situations out. Yeah. And so I'm trying to figure out how to encourage them, but at the same time, tell them not to back down. Like, you got to be flexible. You got to reach out to people, but don't get pushed around, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird...
I'm trying to convince
it's a weird
my
thing.
Son with all of the places that he goes. I was like, who is that? Which, like, tell me some of your friends' names. And, like, he has friends, but I'm like, when he goes to church, I'm like, who'd you hang out with today? He's like, oh, I hung out with Mr. Whoever, and then we had the talk with the small group thing, and... I'm like, okay, but like, what were some like cool guys that you know? Like, what are your friends at church? What are their names? I don't know. There's this one kid named whatever, and we played this one game, and then I, you know, stopped and just kind of hung out by myself. And my oldest son is completely okay with being by himself, but I'm trying to convince him that activities are so much better with people that you can enjoy that activity with.
Yeah.
Like, it brings a whole new dynamic of happiness when you get to share that happiness with people. Not just experience a thing for yourself, and you're like, oh, that was neat, and you walk off. And he just doesn't – that equation doesn't hit with him. He doesn't find the value in bringing in more people. Hmm. And he's like, I have enough friends. I have the perfect amount of friends right now. I'm like, your brother and your sister and those three other people that you know that you hang out with one day a week that are not anywhere else. And if that answer is yes, then more power to him. But I'm trying to convince him of the benefit of making new friends.
Yeah.
And – the benefit of persevering through the process of making new friends, because nobody is like, you're never just going to hit with all the people. Like, you might think that somebody's cool and then turn around and make fun of you because you don't have a phone. Like, well, that was a bust. Therefore, all friend making in this environment is a bust.
Right.
And it's, I don't know, because my kids are in a different set of circumstances than I grew up with, it's harder for me to try to, like, oh, this is what I did when I was there.
Yeah.
Like,
go to the lunchroom and, oh, wait.
Yeah. That kind of but even then, like, I don't really know how it happened. Like, I made friends with a lot of different people. Yeah. Like, all of the different, the little cliques of people. Like, I could find what I liked about each person, and I could carry on a conversation with any one of them. I was never, like, at odds with anybody.
Right.
And I remember a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, when we grew up, he was like, you were friends with everybody. I'm like, well, sure. Because it was easier to just exist and just be okay with everybody. Hmm. Find some way to relate to whatever group that I'm in.
Oh, man.
It's far more advantageous than just like, oh, I don't belong here. Therefore, I'm going to have a bad time, or it's going to result in conflict. Like, even if it was a little bit fake, I'm going to fake my way through that situation so that it is a pleasurable one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that's even necessarily fake as much as it is like... being able to find a comfortable place in many different groups of people.
Yeah.
You don't have to be everything to everybody, right?
Yep.
But you were something to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and you were comfortable there.
And if people didn't like me for whatever reason, like, I did not care.
Yeah.
Because I was not out trying to seek their approval. I did not want chastisement for whatever reason, but I didn't necessarily want to seek approval. And so my interaction with the different cliques of people may have been completely surface, but it was enough for me to either just get through that environment or to hang out in that environment long enough to realize that I did have stuff in common with these certain people. And then you just kind of got grouped right. into my peer group. It was the same thing in the military. When you go to huge like training events, like you're all by yourself. You're completely alone with strangers. And so you got to try to get along with people and like drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid until you can figure out like, okay, well, this is over and I survived that and I don't need to do it again. Or I met some lifelong friends.
Hmm.
And so I've always just kind of had that relationship with strangers that like I can be cordial and then I can move on. If it hit, it hit. If it didn't, it didn't. If someone doesn't like me, like, oh, well, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
I really don't care. But to my son, I'm like, you gotta try to at least get that level. Like, don't avoid people. Don't make yourself a target by acting particularly strange or weird or whatever, which I don't know. I mean, that there's differing opinions on that, I suppose. But if people didn't like him, I'm like, I'm trying to communicate, like, who cares if that kid doesn't like you? Like,
yeah,
you don't need that kid to like you.
Yeah.
Screw that kid.
Well, I think that's a good point. Not the screw you part, but the you don't need people to like you. I think
you don't need that validation to provide self-worth.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. Screw that person's opinion of you. Not screw that kid. Sorry. Like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
And in that environment, your mommy and your daddy telling you that you're a special little boy and you got all kinds of great personality things, like, that doesn't help. But it should, I hope.
Hmm.
Like, come on, man. I like you. And I'm cool. I'm on the internet.
I know everything.
I wear Jordans. Come on. That's got to count for something. I don't know.
Yeah, real quick, we're running long, but I want to say a little thing and then we'll talk about it in the future. I went to Target last night.
Target.
By myself. I went to another store on the way home. I was like, you know what? I should just stop in Target and go look at toys. I just see if they have anything new. I don't know, some cool thing I hadn't seen. And I walked into Target. This is like 8 o'clock. So it's not very crowded at all, right? There's nobody there. Walk to the back, take a left, looking down the long aisle along the back. Where the toy stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a guy standing in the middle of the aisle. And I know who the guy is. I've met the guy one time at soccer practice. Super nice. Very helpful. His kid and one of my kids are good friends. They play all the time. But I've been introduced to him, and I don't know him. And he was standing right outside the toy aisle. And I was like, I don't really want to have a conversation with a person I don't know right now.
Hmm.
And I turned, without even thinking about it, I turned and went the other direction. The one reason I went to the store was to look at toys. And I walked all the way around to the end of the store. And I was like, what am I doing here? Why did I? Hmm. And I just left. And it was so weird that I caught myself completely avoiding small talk or like a guy who could potentially be a friend of mine. Somebody who I should just be like, hey, man. How you doing? Let's get to know each other, because he's a really cool guy.
Just not cool enough, guy.
No, I don't know what the deal was. It was so weird. And I don't know if it's like from COVID times, just me being like having defenses up and being away from people so much, other than like, you know, the people that I'm around all the time. It was really strange, though. And I got in the car and was like, should I go back in there and just, I mean, not like actively go, hey, man, let's be friends, but. Like, I intentionally avoided
a potential
interaction with a person that had no negative anything to it. And I just avoided it. I don't know, man. It felt really weird.
Hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe it was just the mood I was in last night. Maybe it was just...
I mean, there's stuff to unpack there, but this is why I don't go places without my wife. Because she knows all the people, and she can have that conversation, and she can be... the better part of my conscience and my memory that doesn't exist by itself.
Hmm.
We were at church and I was playing in the band and then I went and sat beside my wife during one of the services. And there are people that we met at church that know about I Like to Make Stuff, know about stuff I was doing before I came to I Like to Make Stuff. It was crazy. Same as Matt. I didn't remember what he looked like because he looks like a guy. And I sat down next to my wife, and she was typing on her phone, and she was like, sitting next to us is the couple that we met that one time. I was like, oh, that's what the guy looks like. And they had a young baby. I don't know if he's listening or not, but your baby's super cute. He was making little baby noises. I was like, oh, looking at the baby. And I was like trying to look at the guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember now. He looks like a guy. But I'm like, now I know. I don't know his name. And so at the very end, Tiff had to ask them their names, and then she told me. And so, like, in that scenario of me out in the wild all by myself without my shield, my wife's shield and my wife helmet, I probably would have maybe done the same thing. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't know that person's name. But on the flip side, I have that really – this sounds really bad. The same thing, the middle school thing. I can schmooze. I can schmooze all day with people that, like, I know the smallest detail about your life and I know – slightly larger detail about our interaction together. It's not great, but I'm going to be cordial. And I'm not going to try my best not to be weird about it. But I'm probably going to be vague because I don't remember your name. I barely know anything else about you, but I know that I should interact. And it's going to be surface level. And it may not be the most deep thought, but I might also run away.
Well,
it's a very narrow window.
No, I understand that. I mean, I think that was what caught me when it settled in after I walked off. I was like, I can go to a Maker Faire or Maker Central and talk to hundreds, literally hundreds of people and have legitimate conversations with complete strangers. And I'm not just like faking it. Like, yeah. I've had some really great interactions and conversations with complete strangers at those things. And it's not stressful for me. It's not, I don't feel awkward. It's fine, but something.
Have you done this before?
I don't know. Maybe I have. I'm not sure. It was the first time I've recognized it in myself, and I didn't feel great about it. I'm like, man, I'm an adult. I shouldn't have to
run away
from like anything uncomfortable. And there's nothing even uncomfortable about this. This is a nice guy that I would actually kind of like to get to know. I don't know.
Do you actually know this person's name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know his name. So I know his wife's name. I know at least a couple of his kids' names.
So there's
I know where he works. I know he's in the military. I know a bunch of stuff about him because he helped coach one of the soccer teams. Like, I shook his hand one time. That's all the interaction I've had.
There's an opportunity for redemption in there.
Yeah.
If you wanted there to be.
Oh, yeah. But I think if I had turned a corner and he was right here, I'd be like, hey, man, what's up? But the fact that I turned a corner and he was 100 yards down and I'm like, well, I can walk towards this.
The suspense is building.
Or I can walk away.
I don't remember his name. I don't know anything else about him. Whenever he's going to ask me something. Whenever he's going to do this. And then it's overload. And you're like, duvet covers. What's over there?
It was.
Look at all that walnut and brass. Thanks, JoJo.
It was so strange.
Did you tell Jenny?
No. No. And if I do, she'll like text him and be like, hey,
exactly. That's exactly my point. Jenny will be like, I'll fix this right now. Yep. You guys are meeting up
he's
for
on
coffee
his way,
tomorrow.
Yeah, he's on his way over. You guys are going to hang out and play video games.
My wife used to do that. When I was in the military, it was very hard to meet another couple that you enjoyed. Either I knew somebody from work and then their wife was just some weird, strange person, or she knew somebody from college or from work and their husband was just like some skirt that I couldn't stand. And so she would set me up on like dates. They're like, oh, my friend's whoever's husband. She would like give me this weird little dossier. She's like, he works here and he's into this stuff.
He's really ticklish.
You should go to dinner. Just like go hang out. Because our wives are super amazing and they want us to get out of the house and go build relationships with other people. And for some reason, we are apathetic or resistant to that notion. But she did that one time and she's like, oh, just go hang out with my friend, you know, Lindsay's husband. And I met him and I was like, we had jobs that like hated each other. He belonged to a group of people that I just despised. I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, this is not working out. Later. And now home, like, how dare you set me up with this turd? And it turned out they were nice people. But it was weird. I'm like, you're setting me up on like a date.
It's like a play date.
With like your friend's husband.
Yeah.
She's like, because I want us to all hang out as a group. I'm like, but I don't like that person. So fine. But I'm sure that if you were to mention that to Jenny or if I were to mention that to Tiffany, they'd get on a text right then.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt.
Yeah. They're coming over to watch Star Wars. You're welcome.
Anyway, it was just a weird thing. I haven't had anything like that in a while. I mean, I think part of it is the mask thing. Man, we're like an hour and 13 minutes. The mask thing, I've gotten so comfortable wearing a mask places that I almost don't want to not wear masks places.
I noticed that point when I was at church and I was playing the bass and there was a good while where everybody playing music was wearing masks because we were pretty close on stage and I guess just to project to the people in the congregation as something that the church was prioritizing. But as the bass player, like I'm not singing, I'm not lead guitar, I'm not doing stuff. Like I have a pretty chill job and I get to add what I want to add and I kind of stand in the back. And then when they record it, I'm right behind Mike, who we talked about last week, who is the worship leader. And I'm just like standing there making a face. And my just ugly mug in its natural state is just like, a look of pure annoyance, apparently, where I'm just like, I'm not happy. I'm not mad. I'm just resting. I have a resting face. But when I had a mask on, you couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
It was all in the eyebrows.
Right.
Eyebrows plus rest of face. It's not working out. I want to put my mask back on. And then there was a song that we were playing where, like, I did nothing except the very last of, like, the three bridges in the song. And so I just had to stand there.
Oh.
While everybody else did stuff. And I'm like, maybe you should sing. I'm like, I don't really want to sing. I'm like, just mouth that you're singing. Only certain parts to where it looks like it's really impacting you, like, deeply.
Watermelon, watermelon, yeah. Watermelon.
I was like, just look up at the lights. And so I was just like, yeah. Look at all them lights.
You should have just sat down. Close your eyes.
It was so strange. And I just noticed it. And I was like, I don't have my mask to, like, give the illusion that I might be injured. Maybe he's smiling under there.
Yeah.
Nope. He's just making a face, waiting for his turn to hit that B chord. He's just like a lump, just standing there. Like, meh. I really got accustomed to wearing a mask and putting headphones on when I went places.
Oh, yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
But not a great societal operation.
Yeah.
It was very inward, but pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
You could have just perused right past that guy at the toy aisle with your headphones and your mask on. He could have been talking all day, and you're like, oh, what? I didn't even notice. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, now that I think about it, I've probably done that before, but, like, used my phone as the turn.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's somebody I don't really know or I don't want to have to deal with the figuring out how to talk to this person for whatever. I'm just going to pull up my phone and look down at it and walk past like I didn't see that they're on. I'm sure I've done that, you know? But, like, that's terrible. But I know I've done it, and I know everybody else listening has done it either.
So awkward things that you could have. Oh, man. I was thinking of McLovin in Superbad when he was following a girl down the hallway, and then she turned around and stares at him. He's like, and turns around and runs away.
I've never seen it.
Like, there's so many things. I have to go.
I didn't do that. Anyway, I'm just rambling. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry, we're just kind of rambling about all sorts of weird stuff.
This is fun.
If you want to find us on social media, you can find all of us at I Like to Make Stuff. Where can everybody find you?
Josh. At Josh _ Make Stuff. We are doing our holiday gift guide right now.
Yes.
Get on Instagram. The four of us, Anthony, Forby, Bob, and myself, have all curated a list of things that we think are super dope that we have enjoyed this year.
Mm-hmm.
So on Instagram stories this week, we are putting all that stuff out there. So if you're aiming to get a Christmas gift or holiday gift for anybody on your list, we've got some pretty cool stuff.
And we'll put them in the highlights too. So it's
down below. All about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that too.
Yeah, so you can find them. In fact, there's a full list of all the things we're going to recommend on kit.co. We have a page there where we always put lists of products that we use and things that go into projects and all that stuff. So you can find that if you want it. I hope the new studio sounds good. Let us know.
I think
what
it
you
did last episode. I listened to a little bit of it. And even with the four of us, I think it sounded much better. You sounded better.
Hmm. Oh, good.
Well, naturally. I don't know if we're going to have we're going to have to record a show for. No, this will be out next week.
Yeah.
Man, leapfrogging time. So this will be out the week of Thanksgiving. So we hope you have. If you're here in the States, a fantastic Thanksgiving. If you're in another part of the world,
have a great Thursday.
Have a Boxer-ding day.
Boxer-ding
day. Remembrance day. I don't know.
Thursday. Have a great Thursday. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.
Bye-bye.